I was thinking to myself, wow, the intercessors and the praise and worship team, they got kind of lucky today. Got their own little personal prophetic time. I could use some of that. And then I thought, no, I think I got enough of that last week. Thank you very much. I'm pretty much sure I'm done with that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to the recording. So, it's Pentecost. It's the time when the apostles had been waiting for 10 days. Jesus had gone up into heaven, and they had been told, wait for me in Jerusalem, and I will do something incredible. And they just sat there. And they had no idea what was coming. And then one morning, early in the morning, there was an earth-shattering kaboom. Yeah, somebody got that. And, yeah, go YouTube it. It'll be great. And there was tongues of fire, which people still have no idea what that really looked like. And there was a great rushing wind, and all of a sudden, people started speaking in foreign languages, and they stumbled out into the streets and just started proclaiming the gospel. And all of a sudden, they get the gifts of the Spirit. They get all those things that we see in 1 Corinthians. They get tongues and interpretation of tongues. They get healing and miracles and faith and discernment and all these things that we as charismatics and we as Pentecostals, we just get all giggly about. They're the things that we love. They're the things that some of us come to church for. They're the things that people go from church to church looking for. They're the people that, you know, they follow from one church to another. They're like, hey, I hear gold dust is falling from the ceiling at this church. Let's go there. I hear people are getting their molars turned to silver over here. Well, they're platinum over at this church. Let's go there. Upgrade. I guess that would constitute a miracle, but I don't really remember reading about that. Never mind that. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff that people, they get all worked up about. But, you know, that happens, I suppose. But I really like the changed hearts. That's the real miracle. The miracle is the people who are ready to kill people who are all of a sudden changed by love. The real miracle is people like John and James, the sons of thunder, who, next thing you know, become, you know, John becomes the disciple of love. And in his epistles, all he does is he talks about love. God is love. Brothers, I want you to love one another, for God is love. And this is how they'll know that we're Christians, because of our love for one another. That's somebody who's gone from being the son of thunder, somebody who is just nothing but a fiery, angry youth, to somebody who is just completely captivated by the love of God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And as I look at the gospel today, I see this thing that's a little bit confusing. Because we hear about the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they go start doing all of these charismatic things. But the gospel isn't the day of Pentecost. The gospel is the day of resurrection. It's Easter day. And Jesus appears to the disciples in the upper room, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And that can be confusing to some. Because how do you have two times when people receive the Holy Spirit? How do you get it at Pentecost and you get it at Easter? Well, frankly, this happens to all of us. Okay? When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, whether it's, you know, as an adult and you meet with somebody and you confess Jesus as Lord your Savior, or as an infant and you're baptized and they say receive Christ and be marked and sealed as Christ's own forever, you get Jesus in your heart. And you are marked and sealed as Christ's own forever. And Jesus is part of God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're indivisible. You can never separate one from the other. Where you see Jesus, you see the Father. Where you see the Father, you see the Holy Spirit. They're indivisible. You can't be separated. So if you have Jesus inside of you, you have the Father and the Holy Spirit inside of you. Okay? Now, so when you get baptized, when you accept the Lord as your Savior, you get the Holy Spirit inside of you. You get Jesus inside of you, you get the Holy Spirit inside of you. You can't have one without the other. Okay? Now, there are some who say that that Easter moment when Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, it was like their born-again experience. It was like them accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Couldn't quite do it before. He hadn't risen from the dead. Okay? Now, later, 50 days later, they received the Holy Spirit. I don't know. There are some people, we actually see it in the book of Acts, there are some people who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before they were actually baptized. Okay? Maybe that was you. Maybe you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before you ever really got into church. It's possible. But chances are that's not how it happened. Okay? But if you're confused about that, that's kind of the explanation. Most people, they come to church, they've been to church for a while, and then somebody comes and they're like, hey, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they're like, what's the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And then it's all over from there. Then life changes. But I was looking at this, and something really struck me. And it wasn't to receive the Holy Spirit. It wasn't Peter's incredible sermon. It wasn't all the incredible gifts. Because, you know, we talk about the gifts all the time. We see the gifts worked out all the time. We saw the gifts in some capacity worked out here this morning. What struck me this morning was Jesus, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them. He put his spirit into them. Remember, breath is one of these incredible words that in Greek and in Hebrew, the word breath and spirit are the same words. In Hebrew, it's pneuma. In Hebrew, it's ruach. In Greek, it's pneuma. And breath and spirit are the same words. He breathed on them. He put his spirit into them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, we're charismatics. We love us some gifts of the Holy Spirit. We love seeing people laid out on the floor. We're like, ooh, God's working. But you know what? God moves in forgiveness of sins. A lot of people ask, you know, I teach high school. I have lots of kids who ask questions. They ask, man, is it weird like hearing confession? Yeah, it's a little odd sometimes. Like, what's the weirdest thing? What's the biggest problem with hearing confession isn't what people think. It isn't that now you have this deep, dark secret. And you have this like burning urge to go running around and telling, oh, I know what so-and-so did. It's not like you want to run around the street with a bullhorn going, guess what so-and-so. No. Never do you have that urge in the least. The problem is, every time you hear a confession, you see a miracle in that God sets someone free. And you can't ever tell anybody about it. Because every time someone's set free from their sins, God breaks a chain. And you see somebody literally released from a prison. You see a captive set free. You can't tell anybody about it. It's a miracle that you have to keep to yourself. That's the problem. That's the burden. It's like this little special thing that you just can't go telling. It's like, wow, I just saw this miracle. But God said, all these things that you've seen me do and greater, you will do in my name. Raise your hand if you're living up to that. Tuck my hand in my alb here. Okay. So we're all clear, we're not living up to that. Okay. So go into the way that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the sins of others. Amen. Let's rephrase this. In as much as you forgive other people's sins, I will forgive you your sins. Amen. Or in another way, inasmuch as you do not forgive other people's sins, God will not forgive you yours. Amen. Perhaps if you're not doing all those mighty works, perhaps if you're not prophesying the way you want to, perhaps if you're not casting out demons the way, perhaps if you're not walking in discernment or interceding or speaking in tongues, or even if you just don't have the faith that you want, maybe it's because you've got an issue of unforgiveness. Maybe it's because you haven't let go of something. Maybe you aren't forgiving someone, and because of that, you haven't been forgiven. And because of that, you're holding something back. And because you're holding something back, you're being held back. Now, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, Paul goes through those nine gifts in chapter 12, and he talks about faith, hope, and love. So hope is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I have great hope that by the work of the Holy Spirit working in me, by the gradual and eventual maturing of the Holy Spirit, there will come a day when I will preach a sermon to this congregation that will speak wonderfully effectively to the congregation and that will move mightily in you, that will have absolutely nothing to do with me. That is not this day. Because in as much as I am talking to you, I am talking to myself. Because as I have worked on this sermon this week, I have been thinking, yes, yes, there's that one. And yes, there is that one. And okay, I have this issue. Come to think of it, yes, I pretty much despise that person. Thanks for bringing that one out. And of course, Scripture says if you hate someone, if you hate your brother, you have murdered him in your heart. So, there we go with that one. Anybody else been there? This week? Today? This surface? Sermon's not that bad. Yet. Let's look at one scripture. Let's go to Matthew 18, chapter 21. The parable of the unforgiving servant. We could subtitle it The Parable of You. Peter came into him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus said, do not say seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And he had begun to settle accounts with his servants, and when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The master was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants whom owed him 100 denarii, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw that he had been done, what had been done, they were grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry, and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was his due. So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Okay, so long and the short of it, Father Looker's brief summary of this parable. So you've sinned against God in a way that's absolutely impossible for you to pay. You have zero capacity to pay, and you are utterly doomed if you don't. So you throw yourself at God's mercy, and he forgives you. So you go out to somebody who has wronged you in a slight fraction of the way which you have wronged God, and you hold that against the person. God finds out about it because God is, of course, all-knowing. And he says, I'm going to hand you over to the torturers because of this. That's a pretty persuasive parable. If you don't forgive, you're going to be handed over to the torturers. You don't have to really work too hard to figure out what that one's about. Now, most of us have an incredibly challenging time trying to figure out how we can forgive. This person did me wrong. This person did my wife wrong, my children wrong. This person did my favorite media personality wrong. Whatever. It happens. It goes on. We get offended and we get bitter and we get angry at somebody who did something to someone, whether it's us or someone we care about, and we don't let it go. And here's the most important thing to remember. It is not your job. It offends our sense of justice to let someone go. But where do you think we got a sense of justice? Our idea of justice comes from the just God who created the idea of justice. He can handle justice and dole it out infinitely better than you or I can. And he will do so way more effectively than you and I can. If not in this world, then rest assured in the next. Yes. I would much rather have my punishment in this world than in the next. So, forgiveness is ultimately a letting go. It is a surrendering. It is a saying of, I will give up my claim to have anything against this person, and I will give it to God. And when you hand over something to God, an incredibly effective place to do that, right here at the altar. God, I give you my claim on this person. I surrender it to you. I know you are infinitely more effective at dealing with sin than I am. You handle it so much better than I do. Frankly, all that I do is lock myself up in chains. All that I do is bind myself up. All that I do is keep myself from being forgiven. All that I do is hold myself back from receiving your power. I can't be endued with power from on high. Because I have these chains and I just keep wrapping them up around me tighter. Because I like being angry. I get cold and I like fueling myself with the fire of my own anger of what that person did. I get fired up about it and I like keeping warm with my own seething rage. But the problem is, that's only a foretaste of the fires of hell if I don't let it go. And I'm not doing what God's calling me to do. Now, Pentecost is about the release of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know that there's people here who are like, you know what? I've seen it, I believe it, I know it's true, but I'm not walking in it, and I want to know why. Now, I don't have all the answers, but I'm willing to bet that there's a lot of people here, myself included, for whom the answer is unforgiveness. So, what we're going to do now is we're going to give the Holy Spirit another opportunity to work. So what we're going to do now is we're going to say, we're going to bring the priests up, and if you've had an unforgiveness, if you've had an issue of unforgiveness in your heart, we're going to have you come up. We're going to have the praise and worship team start playing. We're going to go ahead and end the recording. We're going to go ahead and give people an opportunity to come up. And what we're going to do is you're going to just say, I've had an issue where I haven't been able to forgive this. We're not going to turn it into a counseling session. Okay? This is not going to be we don't want details. This is not going to be here till 3 o'clock hearing your life story. I've had an issue forgiving this person. We're going to pray with you. We're going to anoint you. We're going to pray that you are able to forgive. We're going to pray that God gives you the Spirit to release that. And then, as we finish the rest of the service, we're going to come to the point in time when we go to communion. You're going to get to the point where we say we lift up our hearts. You lay it down on the altar and say, Lord, I lay down my offense. Forgive me of what I've done. We're going to get to the point where we do the confession. Forgive me. No confession. We're going to do the confession right here. We're just going to say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. And we're going to forgive you. Okay? It's under the seal. We're not ever going to talk about it. We can't talk about it. This is by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. This is a move of God. Some of you were like, Lord, let the Holy Spirit fall. Let it fall in a new and unexpected way. How many of you saw this coming? Huh? How many of you right now are hearing the Holy Spirit speak in your heart and going, you haven't forgiven this person? How many of you are hearing the voice of God in your heart saying, you haven't forgiven me? So right now we're going to call the priests up. As the people come up, give them enough room so that you're not hearing what they say. This is a private time. But we're going to give the Holy Spirit opportunity to move. And this is going to be one of those Isaiah 61 moments. Chains are going to be broken. Prisoners are going to be set free. And the Holy Spirit's going to move like never before.